agenda is here. Francois, you're up to scribe today. Would you mind?
Not at all. I already apologize to Nicholas and Marcus if I make mistakes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. There we go. Greg, addition to the agenda, your visit to Wikidata as the first thing we pick up?
Yeah.
Good. Any other additions or changes to the agenda?
Yeah, we should discuss the RDF working group face-to-face.
Okay.
I don't know if you've checked your mail on that, but David Wood had a question out to you specifically about your availability.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to be available to go to that. I can call in, but...
To call in, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I could definitely do that.
There's also something which we might want to discuss, which Lynn Clark posted yesterday. They are discussing to serve two different serializations for their API and for the two use cases of their API, the deployment and general clients. So maybe we should have a look at that as well for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Wow.
That's interesting. Yeah, we should try and... I guess we should try and make sure that they actually do need two different JSON-LD serializations. I wonder if this is just a different structure to them or if they're thinking of extending JSON-LD in some way. Marcus, do you know?
I think it's just a different structure. So basically, for example, like if you have the text of an article, then they... In one case, they serialize it just as a literal, and in the other case, they serialize it as a blank note and append other properties to that text.
It's not unlike what Wikidata has to do.
That's interesting. Okay. I'm wondering if they had just a regular JSON format, if they'd have to do the same thing anyway. Like, I wonder if this is a limitation in JSON-LD or if this is just they want to represent the information using two completely different structures.
No, I think the concern is that, like, kind of generic clients would expect to find the text of an article in a plain literal, whereas in the deployment use case, as they call it, they need the additional data to, well, mirror the whole site to another server, for example. All their internal types and all that stuff.
I gotcha. Okay. All right, so three additions to the agenda. The first one is Wikidata, the Wikidata visit that Greg did. Second one is the RDF working group face-to-face and seeing how we're going to try and be there for that. And then the third one is the new Drupal dual format issue. Any other additions to the agenda?
If we have the time, I'd like to end up just commenting on the discussing Connect. I agree with the resolution that we should table it. But if we have a minute, we can just... I'd like to reflect on little detail.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. So fourth edition is probably towards the end of the call is the link Objectify call. Okay. First up on the agenda is the Wikidata visit. Greg, mind giving us an update on that?
Yeah, I went in and visited for about a half a day to Wikimedia Germany and spoke with several of the developers at working on Wikidata, including Denny. And we sort of went over where they are. They had recently, it missed me, but I think in August, they sent out something to SWG about their RDF serializations issues. And but I don't have a... not convenient to find a link to give you, but I did find something. The title is Wikidata Export in RDF in SWG last message is August 9th. We discussed a little bit about what they're doing there, and again, it brought up some issues that we had discussed with them that they had sort of forgotten with regards to how they represent things like the Queen of England and then the pronunciation of the Queen of England, which for which one of our as one of our property or language property use cases. Their current inclination is to now use something else that probably has two different properties that bear a relationship with each other, for instance, lowercase language and uppercase language, whereas the lowercase language would be the immediate value, and the uppercase language would use an intermediate B node off of which they could hang other types of information. That's why this second Drupal format looks pretty familiar there, as they're only using a single B node and hanging value off, including a value property, which we discussed as well. But nominally, that would be like an RDF value, and I have seen uses of that. It doesn't seem like it's particularly mainstream, so I don't think that's the way that they're intending to go.
So just to be clear, the when you say they're going to use a language map with a lowercase and uppercase language value, that's little en, and that's going to point to a string, a literal, and then uppercase en is going to point to a B node that has a whole bunch of other information in it, like pronunciation and that kind of stuff.
No, it's more like they'd have a lowercase title that would have a language map and values for each title, and then uppercase title that would then have language maps off of that. I'm not clear, but then they would have nodes off of which they can hang data.
That's a little strange.
It is a little, yeah, it's a little odd, but it serves the needs of their API. I think they came about to realize while I was there, is that there's a lot of advantage to using JSON-LD for their API, even if it does not match their RDF export, because JSON-LD gives you, it gives you unique IDs for every property, for which you can then have assert vocabulary information someplace else. And it gives you the context. It gives you a certain amount of typing of those values. It certainly gives you literal typing, and it allows you to distinguish between literals and objects.
Right.
We went further than that. I showed the use case, what I'm doing at Wikia, where we also do an OWL export in JSON-LD. In fact, I do sort of a hybrid export where I have a normal OWL, but then I annotate it with sort of Wikia-specific properties so that I can gather all of the properties associated with a class together rather than having to look for all the properties and find their domains and figure out how they intersect in that way. That makes it very convenient to be able to use that. So when I see a property being used, I can find a vocab or a class being used. I can use the vocabulary information to validate all of the properties that that show up in that object. So that's something that I think that I probably need to do a blog post about that, and that's something that I think they find particularly compelling as well. So I'd say that JSON-LD is alive and well, but not firmly established in their principles at this point.
Okay. What's the timeline? When are they planning on implementing and deploying the first version?
Well, they have some things deployed already. I don't know specifically about this. They are scheduled to finish in March. So there will be there will be sort of ongoing deployments of data between now and then, but I didn't get a sense in particular on when these types of changes might be available.
Okay. Nicholas, you're on the queue. Sorry, I jumped.
Oh, no problem. First, just a quick reflection. I think that it seemed that the wiki ID of the uppercase title property, was that like the SCSS XL structured properties?
I did show them the SCSS XL. He wasn't actually familiar with SCSS XL. But
okay.
Basically, it looks, as I understand it, I mean, SCSS XL isn't really a standard. But it bears a lot of similarity with what the work they were doing. But Wikidata is going sort of in their own direction in many, many respects. If you look at that tag, I'll see while we're talking if I can dig up a reference to it. One of the things that they're planning to do is to use generated predicates. So they'll have predicates with sort of random identifiers associated with them so that they can spin them off and define a sub-property relationship with something that's more manifest. And this allows them to do more types of things on those predicates, essentially to assert information on the, you know, sort of the edges itself. So that's one of the things that they're looking to do. And then that would be serialized in JSON-LD. From their perspective, there's only two formats that are reasonable for them, RDF-XML and JSON-LD. Interestingly, even though Turtle and Trig are fairly close, as JSON-LD to being standard, they'd still consider them quite standard enough. I don't quite understand, but...
It's interesting that they take RDF-XML over any of the other ones.
RDF, only because it's a standard, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, and I mean tooling, perhaps. JSON and XML are parsable. I love Turtle. It's the best format of them all, although I shouldn't say that in this group, perhaps. But
it is.
But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's still unknown, so we need these instruments for a long time. One other question regarding the, just so that I got what you described correctly, Greg, when you did JSON-LD data from OWL, did you say that you added which properties belong to a class? Or?
Yes, that's right.
Right.
So I define a Wikia, a property in the Wikia namespace called properties, and then its value is all of the property definitions where the domain is, where the class of the referencing object is in the domain of that property, including all of the subclasses, taking into consideration OWL unions and RDFS intersections.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
I also make heavy use of restrictions, so that being in the subtype information at that point. So the set of properties that are available are itemized in the properties property, but also in the restrictions, where the value of the restriction is not itself just a reference to a class. So that includes, it can include union of, but that will also be separated out into a separate property to get convenient access to supertypes and subtypes and descendant types, but also for restrictions, so I can look for cardinality and things such as that. That's just what we're doing at Wikia.
All right.
I've done.
Go ahead.
I've done the same things when I've generated documentation from our and editor information when I experimented with that. There are lots of similarities to that approach. My general reflection was that in the simple case, it sounded like what I've been doing in my own framing, quote-unquote, approach, where I used something that would look kind of like that. I just wanted to note the similarity in approach, so that you recognize the general ID. For
right.
Future discussions.
Yeah. Okay, so, Greg, is there anything that is pressing that this group needs to do? Should we do anything? Is there anything that they're waiting on from us, like they need the thing to get direct quickly, or they need new features, or anything that you can see that we need to do as a group for them?
Well, I think the most important thing is to get to rec, and probably the syntax is the key for them rather than the API.
Okay. And the syntax is fine as far as you can tell?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
There were no issues that came up about anything that we're doing that was in the way, or that they were needing to lobby for anything else. So there's
okay,
just
great.
Quite a lot of. In fact, one guy I think who's sort of a team lead came in off of his vacation specifically to talk with me about this. So there's quite a lot of interest.
Good, that's good. And he was fairly happy with the discussion?
He said something to the effect that, you know, that, you know, what you hear is the sound of my brain sizzling, you know. I blew his brain out a little bit with to talk about everything we were doing, in a good way.
Good, that's what we like to hear. Well, thanks again,
right.
Greg, so much for taking the time to go out there and doing that. I know Wikia paid for it, but still, you taking the time, I think, is vitally important.
Yeah, I probably will be there again, I'm thinking, in February time frame.
Okay, good. So that'll give another chance to deal with any last-minute issues if they want to start deviating from JSON-LD too much. Okay, anything else on this before we move on? All right, next up is the RDF Working Group face-to-face. I can definitely be there on a call or be available via the call. Anyone else here? Is anyone else here going to join in?
Yeah.
Now, you did
too.
See
well.
The time.
Oh, geez.
This is the agenda. So, JSON-LD is up on day two. From 13:30 through 14:45, and that is in local time in Lyon.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's to a GMT plus one, I think. So that puts it at, you know, definitely o dark 30 for me, and I might Marcus is there. I don't necessarily feel compelled to be on, except if I can, I think I will be, simply because you never know what kind of discussions will come up.
Right.
And I think, Mono, if you can be on for that, it'd be really good.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be there for that. And it's only an hour and 15 minutes. So it doesn't look like it's an entire half-day session.
Well, just as a slice of your sleeping time, probably.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fine. I'm up at 5:30 anyway. My daughter wakes me up early,
that's
so
it.
it'll be fine. Francois. Still
are you muted?
Muted. Oh, I unmute.
I keep forgetting. That
no.
Just to note that I'll be there physically speaking in the room.
Okay.
Great.
Did you will be physically there in the room?
Yes.
Great. Fantastic, thank you. Are you there just for the JSON-LD stuff, or for something else, a variety of other things?
Well, I'm here for a bunch of things, but I don't have much to do in the RDF working group, to be honest. It's just going there to meet folks and talk to people.
Okay, great. It'll be great
but
to have you.
I'll join the RDF working group.
Great. Okay, well, that's good. And Marcus, did you say that you're going to be able to call in as well or be there?
Yeah, we'll be there remotely, just remotely.
Okay. Well, that's good. Then we've got a good chunk of us there. So that's good. Okay. All right. Well, I don't think we need to talk about anything else. Let me just make sure. Let's see. The date is... Oh, you've got to be... Oh, wait. Monday, 29th of October.
That would be on Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. Good. I have a wedding the day before. I thought it was going to rain on the same day as the wedding. Okay, good. I think we'll all try to be there. And even if one of us can't make it, we'll have enough redundancy to pick it up if one of us can't make it. Okay. Anything?
Just a little bit more on that. I mean, what their specific objectives are for all of these things is to bring them basically to LC. So I think our objective should be to be have our feeling that either our documents are all at LC prior to this so that basically we can discuss any issues that the other group members might not understand, or that we should have identified the specific areas that are keeping us from being ready for LC.
Yeah. And I think the major issues that are keeping us from LC, I was going to talk about this at the end of the call, is that we have a number of issues that are open waiting on people to get spec text written or, you know, write up their opinion or a variety of different things like that. So we need to – hold on one second. I'm going to – sorry, Francois, I need to mute you. Anyway, we have – well, I think I can't hear the echo anymore. We have a number of outstanding issues. We have like 19 issues that are open waiting for people to say something or write spec text. So we've discussed the vast majority of them. I think the language map thing needs to be either discussed or someone just needs to go and implement a proper algorithm for it. I think – did you take an action to do that, Greg?
I did write up the algorithm, and I think Marcus, there's a little bit of open issue left there with regards to what we do with, say, literals that are already in an object form, which would prevent round tripping. So that probably bears a little bit more discussion, and then I think we can probably go ahead and write it up.
Okay. But I think that's the biggest issue that's kind of open. I looked at every other issue, and it didn't seem like there needed to be that much discussion on it. Okay. Anyway, we'll get around to that. But I don't think we're going to be able to say that the documents are last call ready by that date, because that's just 2 weeks away, and we have 19 issues that are still open, and a lot of people that need to coordinate on that. So I think the best we can do is say that the issues are in you know, we know the only thing that we're waiting on is for people to write spec text, that we don't really have that much to discuss in the group.
I think that's the primary objective, is to get rid of the blockers for LC, not necessarily to come out with the documents all edited and ready to go.
Yep. Okay. Anything else on the RDF working group face-to-face? All right. The next thing that we were going to discuss, I forget what it was.
The Drupal stuff, probably.
Thank you, yes. Okay, so this is the Drupal dual use JSON dual. Drupal JSON LD vendor extension for. Okay, so that is, let me get the link to that. Marcus, would you want to give a thanks? Would you want to give a quick introduction to this?
Yeah, basically, I just saw that before the telecon today, so don't know much more. But I just read that post by Lynn Clark, and she basically outlined that they seem to need two different versions of a JSON-LD serialization, which means both are valid JSON-LD, but the data is structured in a different way. So, for example, if you have an article, if they have an article in Drupal, for one use case, they would store the body of that article as a vnode, and that's the deployment use case. So they store the vnode to associate to that vnode, well, of course, the text, then a summary and the format, so if it's HTML, I don't know, Markdown or whatever. And on the other hand, they want to model their data in a more user-friendly way, or I don't know how to say. I mean, it's like schema.org, the body of an article, it's just a property, a direct property, and the value of that property is just a plain literal. It's not a B node. So there is no indirection normally there, but they need it for their deployment use case.
It is. You can do that. There is actually a class for a web page fragment in schema.org, which would be a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, although I'm sure Lynn knows about that. I mean, she's fairly, there must be some other minor thing there that's not fitting their use case exactly. Well, I think we should definitely talk with Lynn and see if there's anything that we can do to help them on this. Or at least pass that idea by Greg. The idea that you just said is that, you know, why aren't they using a schema?
Well, from a modeling perspective, you might think that the article has a body and has a description, and so to say that an article has a web page fragment is sort of crossing domains, because it's more like a web page has as its primary topic an article, and the web page can have a web page fragment, and then the article might relate to something that has the web page for which the web page fragment has as its primary content. There are certainly ways to do that, but they then start to look a little weird.
Right. Okay. Well, is there much more that we can discuss here without talking with Lynn?
Well, basically, they raised two issues, and one is exactly that problem, whether they serialize it as literals or not, and the other is how they're going to negotiate between those two serializations from a consumer's perspective.
Yeah. And I guess
One proposal was to introduce a different MIME type, so a vendor-specific MIME type for Drupal. Then I think they had, well, they used a proprietary HTTP header or an IRI parameter. I think those are the things they considered. And
Lynn says she can join, by the way.
Yeah, good.
Oh, that would be great.
So go ahead, Nicholas.
Yeah.
Nicholas?
Marcus, yeah.
were you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Didn't want to cut you off. Okay, Nicholas?
Sorry. I just want to make sure that I understand this. I mean, this is a general modeling problem, right? It doesn't seem to be an issue with JSON-LD, nor with RDF as an expression model, just a general problem that, well, if you want a structured value, you cannot have a simple value. That's just the basic mm-hmm. problem of being simple or complete in your expressions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a general, it's a well-known problem in all kinds of, when you express the content of an article in any kind of situation. I've seen uses of RDF value for structured properties. I've seen uses of that in combination with the Dublin Core format and Dublin Core description for articles. I've seen describing articles when the article is a specific format of an article versus the simpler case where you conflate the two distinct entities into one for the sake of ease of consumption. I mean, there's always trade-off, regardless of model or vocabulary.
Right. Eileen, is that you?
That is me, yes.
Hey, so we were wondering if we need to do anything, or basically if we need to do anything to make sure that these issues that you've raised are easy to deal with in the Drupal community, or if this is mostly kind of a something that you're working through right now. Meaning, do we need to change the spec, or do we need, should we discuss it here, or is it too early for that?
I honestly don't think that you need to change the spec for this, and anyone who thinks that I'm incorrect in that can chime in. But I'm pretty sure that this is something that we just need to figure out how to deal with internally.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like that to us as well. I mean, I think even if you weren't using JSON-LD, you might have two completely different JSON structures for dealing with like content staging versus the kind of the API.
Right.
Okay.
The only thing that worries me a bit is to introduce different MIME types for these things, because I mean that's an issue that happens quite often. So maybe we discussed that before, so maybe we should consider again whether we add a MIME type parameter such as profile to just identify such different serializations. So we could solve that once for all. You just have you assign a profile to the serialization, then you can use it in normal conic.
So
I think that
would.
That would work for us, I think, because we should have proper Kneg, hopefully. It's being added as part of Symfony by Fabian Potencier right now.
Okay, so let's see. That's in the syntax spec at the very end. I'm trying to find the link.
I mean,
here.
The change would be quite trivial. We would just have to add a profile parameter, for example, to the MIME type registration.
Yeah, so at the very end of the spec in under IANA considerations, I think we have form there as an optional parameter, and the only optional parameter is expanded. Form equals expanded is the only value that we support right now. I guess we could talk about having compacted in there, but that's a completely different issue. So the optional parameter that we would add is profile to the MIME type, and then people could use either a URL or a string value. I would probably say they should probably use a URL. Would that Lynn, would that work for Drupal? If it's still the MIME type, still application/LD+JSON, but then you know you'd have a semicolon and then you'd have profile equals and then some URL. That would say that this is the type of JSON-LD data you're getting, and this is kind of the profile of the JSON-LD you're getting. So what it could be some URL to staging or some URL to like API.
Yeah, I think that that should work fine for us. Marcus, if you wouldn't actually mind chiming in with that on the issue that was posted, that would be very helpful.
Okay.
Yeah, I can.
Excellent. Thank you.
Do we want to, Lynn, do you have any comment on whether it should be a text string or whether it should be an IRI?
I don't know that it will. I don't know if it'll matter too much to us. We could mint an IRI for, you know, we're only going to need it for that one single profile.
Right.
So we could mint an IRI for that.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer to do an IRI just because it's very specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you don't want two people using the same text string and having completely different meanings for it. I don't think it would really be that much of an issue. That conflict would be that much of an issue unless JSON-LD became very, very popular. But I think to future-proof it, I think we should probably just mint an IRI or say that it must be an IRI, should be an IRI, should play say should be an IRI.
I mean, we don't need to require that the IRI be referenceable, so in the end it's also just a string. It's nice to be differentiable, but that's not a requirement.
Okay, so it sounds like we have general agreement for this. So the proposal would be to add an optional parameter to the application LD plus JSON MIME type. Called, let's see, what is this, profile, where the value, go ahead.
Should it be profile or context to be in sync with our internal term?
I think the context is different, isn't it? So this is there's a profile of the data and there's the context that applies to that, applies to the JSON-LD document. I think they're two different things, unless I'm missing something. Because the context would point to a very specific, like, JSON-LD context. The profile is a way of communicating that the layout of the JSON-LD document follows a certain form. Right, so the Drupal use case could use a variety of different contexts, the profile would be staging or it would be, like, API.
There's nothing to prevent you from using a context IRI also as your profile IRI.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's true.
That's right.
But which definition of profile is it? Is this the IANA profile? Is there such a...
The,
I don't know
the
if
profile
there is such
a... relation is not standardized yet, but... This one would be in accordance to that if the other one gets standardized. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so here's the proposal. Add an optional parameter to the application LD plus JSON MIME type called profile where the value associated with it should be an IRI. And then... And then Lynn, feel free. I don't know. Feel free to plus one, minus one, plus zero. That.
Okay. Let me. Okay, there. I see.
All right.
Lynn,
okay.
The only other thing that we talked about before you got on was, I think it'd be possible to use the model that you're the Drupal sort of body field model you're doing with schema.org. If you considered using, say, web page and web page fragment types. Which then have primary topics that are about each of the various different things, then that would sort of allow you to basically have that intermediate node be something like a web page fragment or the topic of a web page fragment.
Right. So the reason I use schema.org was just because that's a very common vocabulary, but we want, you know, we actually won't be setting the schema.org mappings for anybody's sites. People are going to be doing that on their own. and could be using any other vocabulary that might not have something that can align to that kind of intermediary node structure.
I see.
Okay. Lynn, are there any other resolutions that you can think of that we should make to help with this issue?
Not really that I can think of. I think I'm happy to hear that this will actually be standardized. I didn't even think that that was going to be something that the JSON-LD group could help with. So I think this is fine.
Okay. Yeah. I think the main concern is what Marcus raised, which is the proliferation of different media types, vendor specific media
right.
types, and hopefully this profile extension kind of helps prevent that from happening.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really helpful.
Okay, great. All right, then we'll move on to the next issue. Thanks, Lynn, for jumping on the call.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay, I think that was the last of the additional agenda items, and we'll get into our main agenda now. Anything else on these issues before we jump into the main agenda? All right, next issue up is issue 113, the IRI compaction algorithm. This is something that's been discussed for quite a while. The main issue here is that Marcus and I were concerned that the IRI compaction algorithm was very complicated. We needed to simplify it in some way, and we thought that we could modify the language to do that. The language in the spec to do that. Greg had suggested that perhaps what we could do is simplify the algorithm by making it a little less specific, meaning we wouldn't have as many potential decisions to make when we're compacting an IRI, so we just make it, you know, really, really simple. But then, you know, the counter arguments to that is, well, that would make some of these cases where the IRI compacts to not result in what the developer would expect. And then the pushback on Marcus and my idea to simplify the algorithm by not using term ranking but dealing with it in rounds, I talked about that with Dave Longley a bit, and he said that, we talked through it, and he said that what you end up with, that's the way the algorithm was initially implemented, and what you end up with is an algorithm that's more complicated than what we have now. So this term ranking thing seems to be the simplest way to get a sensible result, meaning something that developers are not going to get confused about, out. And while the numbering, you know, the ranking number is difficult to follow, we couldn't figure out a way of doing it differently, where it wasn't as complicated. We did talk about your algorithm, Marcus. I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other on Marcus's algorithm versus the one that's in the spec right now. I think Dave Longley felt that it was different, but not necessarily simpler to understand. And I believe at one point you said that as well, Greg. So I think where we are right now is. I think Greg and Dave Longley's position is there's no reason to change the algorithm because it's implementable and the proposal on the table, the only other proposal on the table right now doesn't feel any simpler than what's in the spec right now. Marcus, what are your thoughts on that? And Greg, please correct me if I'm wrong in what I said about your position. But Marcus, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's different to say if it's simpler or not because I implemented it that way. So I personally find it simpler because you understand it even if you do it on a sheet of paper and you don't need to, well, I don't know, implement it first to come up with those numbers that are in the algorithm to understand what's going on. So I just do a count whether it compacts or it doesn't compact. So that means whether the type or the language matches. And if that's not the case, I don't increase the rank. But yeah, I mean, the algorithm is already there, but I honestly wasn't really able to understand it, so I didn't implement it.
Yeah, and that's my, I guess that's my biggest concern, is if one of the people in the group can't look at the algorithm and implement it based on what's there, that's kind of a red flag to me. But at the same point, it's kind of like, well, there are only going to be so many implementers, and even if you implement it your own way using your algorithm, Marcus, you know, you were able to implement the spec even if you didn't follow, you know, what one of the sub-algorithms were.
No, I mean, you can follow, you can implement it. I'm quite sure you can, but I wasn't able to understand it by just reading the spec.
Right.
And in that case, perhaps it would be simpler, instead of putting it there in prose, to just use, I don't know, some kind of pseudocode. Because the prose doesn't help either. So it just looks like code because you can't understand it anyway, so you don't try to.
It's. I think that's the general argument against the way, you know, W3C specs are written. You know, that argument has been made for a bunch of other specs. I don't disagree with that argument. I think that it is very difficult to kind of understand some of these algorithms when they're written in prose instead of as an, you know, algorithm. But it would be strange for me. Yes, Nicholas, W3C specs should just be written in JavaScript. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with any of the points Marcus is making. I think that we've got a time pressure here. I think what would be required for us to change the spec text is for Marcus to write the spec text for the new version, put it side by side with the old spec text, not just in the issue, but just in the spec. And for those that haven't necessarily done an implementation, to read both versions and see which one they think is easier. And my concern with doing that is we're spending time doing that on something that, you know, is implementable versus on some of the other stuff that needs to be cleaned up. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, is there some reference in that issue or elsewhere readily available to list a set of tests for which we describe the expected outcome? There are some good examples there in the comments, but do you know if there... I haven't looked at the test suite for this for a while, so I don't know if there is a comprehensive set of tests to verify. If you try to implement this, I'd like to be able to throw tests at that. Do we have
Yes, there are. Right.
Although I think that I don't pass. I haven't been passing in a while, but I haven't really been working on it. The problem is the tests often test for many things simultaneously. An individual test does. So if there's a failure, it can be quite a bit of sleuthing to figure out exactly what part of the test you're not passing. So that's a general comment on sort of tests that tend to be overly comprehensive rather than specific.
And that speaks more to we need to fix the test suite so that we have a lot of really basic tests in the beginning, and then further on we can make the tests a little more advanced. Greg, mainly that just has to do with test code coverage. Meaning that
I think that typically what we've done is there are broadly different types of features, and we write things. You know, the test will say, let's say we're looking to make sure that things are encoded properly or not within lists. So that one test will include many different things so that the result is a, you know, reasonably complex JSON-LD document that if you implement the sort of the list term selection properly, it is correct. But if it fails, it could be difficult to pinpoint what part of the algorithm is not working properly.
Great. You put yourself on the queue to talk about something else, though. Is that right?
Well, with regards to the text, Marcus, I think as an alternative to rewriting the spec, I think I need to reread it all now. It's been long enough that I'm sure it'll look completely foreign to me as well. That it probably, perhaps what we should be doing is adding annotations to the spec that where it isn't something that can simply be clarified to get us to come back and clarify the text to improve it.
Mm-hmm. So basically your proposal then, Greg, is let's add issue markers to the algorithms that we feel are not clear enough?
Yes.
And then we could go to last call like that. And if we can't figure out a way to make the text simpler, we just remove the issue marker after last call. But if we do figure out a way to do it, at least there's an issue marker there. We won't have to go through another last call, and the spec text will be clarified.
Yeah, well, ideally, if you're looking at the text and something is either it's not clear and you don't understand it, in which case adding an issue marker is, or you it's not clear but you do understand it, in which case probably the best thing to do is to correct the spec text.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Manu,
your implementation is currently using the algorithm in the spec?
You'd have to ask Dave Longley. I think Dave Longley tried to follow the algorithm in the spec. Specifically for the IRI compaction algorithm, I believe that Dave Longley has implemented it per the spec.
Okay.
But I'm not positive about that.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have not even one implementation of that.
Right.
Because I think, Greg, you're not up to date currently, are you?
It's not passing, so yeah. I don't know how closely the implementation, though, matches. Obviously not closely enough, but I don't know how much it diverges. It's been months since I've looked at it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I guess as a commentary, the fact that these things can not be identical, yet they are, broadly speaking, solve the problems, just shows that, you know, we're really in the weeds with regards to interpreting the spec text.
Mm-hmm.
That for most of the cases, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Francois, you're on the queue. You might be muted.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
You can't hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes. No, we can. We can.
Okay, good. So just to note that I think JSON-LD is in good shape regarding tests and algorithm. I wouldn't worry too much from a process perspective on algorithm precisely defined, in the sense that that's usually what we do after last call. This inquiry is just really there at that point that people are asked to start and implement and provide feedback. It's often the case that you need to refine algorithm at that step. It's not such a big deal, and it doesn't take so much time to go back to lab school to the process another time.
Okay. Yeah, as long as it's clearly marked in the spec saying that we might change the algorithm, but we do not expect the output to change drastically, we wouldn't have to go through another last call. I think the thing that I'm most concerned about is having to go through another last call. And the way that we avoid that is we mark it clearly, saying that this algorithm might change slightly, but only to clarify what's happening or to fix, fix bugs that come up. And Francois is absolutely right. We do that during candidate rec, and as long as we mark it clearly in the spec, it's fine.
Absolutely, and you don't, as you said, you don't necessarily need to go back to that goal. If you talk about clarifications, that's good. So it doesn't change. We did that a lot with Mobile OK, which was a spec really, which was just about writing algorithms, and we found a lot of small issues, small clarification needs on our way to REC, and we just republished another candidate break or so on. So it just happens, but that's not such a big deal.
Okay. Yep. That's good. Let's see. So Marcus, what would you prefer to do with this issue? Do you want to? I mean, clearly, let's mark it with an issue marker in the spec, saying that the algorithm may be refined during or after last call. I think the only other thing that we need to do is Greg needs to go back through and make sure that his implementation follows the algorithm, or at least can read through the algorithm and understand what it's doing. All implementers that we have in this group should probably do that. And then if we think we should change it at that point, Marcus, maybe you can write the new spec text using your proposal in the issue tracker. As the text we use in the spec. What do you think about that?
The text in the issue marker is pretty accurate what I'm doing. I also have an implementation which passes all the tests, so I don't know if it makes really sense to write it up in spec text, because if no one is reading it or implementing it, it's just a wasted time. And we haven't really been discussing it neither in the issue marker, so... in the issue tracker.
Okay, so what are you proposing then?
I mean, nothing basically.
Okay.
I mean, the thing we should do is at least check whether the current spec text passes the test suite, or whether we need to change that, and if we need to change that, how much we need to change the spec.
Okay.
But
how much we need to change the test suite. I mean, it's possible that,
But
so,
I think I will... doing that who is closer to the current spec test than I am.
I'll try to go through where I'm failing and see if I can figure out those issues this week. And perhaps Dave, I don't know where Dave is with regards to passing all of those tests himself.
I think he passes all but one.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no.
So
everything passes except for PHP has one test that it doesn't pass for some strange reason.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So then if I can make mine pass or find out something that I disagree about this week, then that'll allow us to sort of try to nail these algorithms down.
Yep.
We also don't have any tests for, so I think, is Flatten part of the API spec now?
It is.
I don't think we have any tests for Flatten.
Okay, we should do that, although that's something that shouldn't keep us from going to last call. It would be very smart to have
last
call, though.
Yeah, Turtle is really not putting any effort into their tests until now, anyway. But that's also a criticism. The sooner you have those tests, the sooner you get visibility. So.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a mistake to take any spec into last call without a test suite, I think.
And something we should think about is eventually having an online test runner, which can be challenging, but it was very effective for RDFA.
Yeah.
I think that, normally I prefer tests to spec text in general. The only reason for me to not feel that tests are sufficient is that quite often if you just write examples, you will contradict yourself sooner or later. So you need to spell out an algorithm to complete the vision, so to speak, to know that they are coherent. But given one or the other tests, I prefer data to algorithms.
Right. Okay, so this issue, we're dealing with this issue by having Greg and Dave Longley go back and check to make sure that their implementations match the spec text. And if they match the spec text and they feel that the algorithm is fairly understandable from the pros, then we're probably not going to modify it that much. But if they find that there's a hole in the algorithm or there's something that's not very easy to understand, then we will modify the algorithm sometime between now and the end of the CR phase, candidate rec phase. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, then that's what we're going to do. Issue 113 is effectively resolved. We're just going to wait on, you know, Greg and Dave Longley to tell us that it's not good, if that's what ends up happening. Anything else on issue 113 before we continue? Okay, issue 114 is next, the JSON-LD grammar. This, I believe, is waiting on Marcus for when we basically finish the spec. And I think we're pretty much done with issues that could modify the spec very heavily. We need people to write spec text, but I don't think that there are any other issues that we need to discuss. Right after this issue, we're going to go down the issue list and make sure that there's nothing that we missed. But I did a quick review of the issues that are currently open, and it doesn't look like we need to have any more discussion on any of them. Okay. The JSON-LD grammar, Marcus, you felt that we need something a little more concise, something without the examples kind of sprinkled in there, something that an implementer could just take a look at and then kind of get a very quick understanding of what the grammar allows and what it doesn't allow. Marcus, would you mind giving a real quick on that, and then Greg's on the queue?
Well, you basically just said it. I think it's too long, and it's almost like the rest of the spec. It's sparkled with examples, and it's a lot of prose, so you can't get a quick overview of what's allowed where and when it's and what is not allowed. So I think we should shrink that down to, I don't know, maybe if it's printed out to one page, half a page, I don't know. But I think currently it's 3 or 4 pages. And in my opinion, that's too much, because we always say JSON-LD should be simple, and then we have a grammar which is 3 pages long. It's a bit contradictory.
Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, so I think if you look at that, if you look at the text in there, the intention of it mostly is to be very descriptive about, you know, when you have a node definition, it can contain this, can contain this, et cetera. So it tries to be extremely precise in terms of what can actually happen without overly replicating the body of the text. But it does include a certain amount of explanatory text and examples that are shared from previous on in there, which at the time, I was sort of responding, I think, to some feedback about the complexity of getting through it. But I would be satisfied if the explanatory prose and the examples were replaced with simply references back to the body of the text that expounded on the specific sections that are being described. That said, I think getting it down to a half a page or a page will be pretty challenging, as long as we're basically describing each element. I mean, I suppose we could, you know, look at some of the text to see how one particular thing might. Just looking up a reference now. So node definition, for instance, node definition is a JSON object containing one or more key value pairs. Keys are IRIs, compact IRIs, terms to find active context for one of the following keywords. Then there are some other things. If it contains a context, then it has to have these things, and then there's an example with some references. If we were to strip the examples out, certainly it would be leaner, but it would probably be a little bit more difficult to read through, and would require constantly cross-referencing. So, yeah, I'm not convinced that making it smaller by removing that context within here is an improvement.
Context meaning the examples or something else?
The examples principally. Mm. Yeah, I think mostly when I'm looking in there, and there's a note or two as well. It's pretty much just the examples that are sort of fluff. Otherwise, it seems to me to be pretty prescriptive. That was my intention when I went through here.
Yeah. So there are two statements there that Greg made that I agree with wholeheartedly. One of them is that it's going to be very difficult to distill this down to a half page to one page, but I do agree that we could just remove the examples and put references to the examples, references to the examples into that section where it kind of points out which example, this particular rule is referring to. I think that would cut down on the size quite a bit. I think it would probably potentially remove like a page. But I don't think that we need to do that much more than that. Because, if we're looking at the JSON-LD grammar A, just Appendix A, if we remove both example 57 and 58, I mean, it halves the size of that, section. Section A1, that's effectively, if we remove all the examples, it cuts it in half again. So I think we could halve the size by just moving the examples to elsewhere in the spec. And still achieve kind of what Marcus wants, is a very succinct kind of description of what's allowed and what isn't allowed. Now, he also noticed that the newest version of Respec turns all the @ keywords into Twitter links. So @ID now links to a Twitter. The @ID, @ type, @ whatever. Anyway, we need to make sure that we get rid of that stuff. I don't think Robin had that in mind when he added that feature. Okay.
We need to make sure that we own all the Twitter accounts for those tweeters.
That they're all constantly tweeting about JSON-LD.
Good idea.
Yes, where's our social strategy? Okay, Marcus, if just those two changes are made, basically removing all the examples, removing the examples to elsewhere in the document and pointing to them from the grammar section. Let's see. Well, I guess that's the only real change that I can see that we might have consensus on. Would that be enough for you, or do you still want to see a further reduction? Because I don't know how we can actually reduce it any more than it's already reduced. I mean, there's a core set of rules. We can't necessarily remove them. We can condense them into kind of a paragraph form, but that's kind of, that's just kind of moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic. It's not, not to say that the grammar section is the Titanic, but...
Yeah, I think we'd be okay with that.
Okay, so the proposal then is to move all examples that are not currently in the spec that exist in the JSON-LD grammar section into the main body of the spec and then point to them using links in the JSON-LD grammar portion of the spec. And that addresses issue 114. Okay. There's a proposal in IRC plus one minus one.
Although it might be that instead of referencing the examples directly, it might be referencing the sections that contain the examples. Depends upon respec really there and how
right.
difficult that makes it. I'd hate to have to manually number all the examples so that they can be referenced.
Yeah, I mean we could just for the ones that well, I would hope that it puts in IDs. Let me check really quickly. No, it doesn't generate IDs for the examples. It would probably be a fairly easy extension to number the examples. Or have, you know, inject an ID for the examples. That would probably just be, in general, a good idea to add to respec or add to just the spec. Yeah, it doesn't
yeah.
add an ID to them. But, you know, barring, let's say we don't do that, pointing to the section I think is enough. But I think ideally we'd point to the example directly.
Okay, well, that's some respec hacking, and which I'm sure Robin would accept if someone
yeah.
wants to do it.
Yep. I'll try it. I still have it on my to-do list to add the jump to the frag ID after the respec document's fully loaded thing so that we don't have to keep publishing, so that links, you know, fragment IDs to respec documents, live respec documents actually work. Instead of what they do now.
Everyone would love that.
Yeah, it's hilarious how often,
yeah.
how long that thing's been kind of floating out there. Okay, so that's resolved. That's issue 114. Let's make a really quick pass through all of the issues to see if we missed anything. So let me go topic-ish. Okay, so I'm looking at the JSON-LD syntax, open issues. We have 6 of them.
I think there are some remaining questions regarding language containers.
There are. That's definitely something we need to still discuss. So that's issue 159. Okay, so I'm going to go from the top. Issue 114 we just resolved. Issue 159, which is the language containers and expanded form and round tripping, we still need to discuss. Issue 142, allowing terms to expand to multiple IRIs, we have that resolved. We are hopefully going to have spec text, and that's resolved. Issue 163, many of the examples don't have titles. That is an editorial, and whoever edits the spec next can fix that. Add container language, issue 133, that should be marked as resolved because we resolved this. I'm going to add it at the issue marker, say that it's resolved. Issue 157, explicit mapping of JSON-LD terminology to RDF terminology in Appendix B1, which is the RDF appendix. I have sent an email to Richard Zaganiak. He has said that he will put aside time in the next 2 weeks to write that section. That's every issue for the JSON-LD syntax. All right, so we only have one item out of that we need to discuss. Okay, I'm looking at the JSON-LD 1.0 API now. We have 8 open issues. Issue 113, define exactly how IRI compaction is supposed to work. That's basically waiting on Greg and Dave Longley to kind of take a look at it and tell us whether or not they agree with what the algorithm says right now. Issue 151, context processing algorithm dependency resolution. This is waiting on Dave Longley to propose spec text into the mailing list. Issue 153, define error handler behavior. This is waiting on Dave Longley to do an implementation and give us feedback on the current design in the spec. Issue 160, specify property generator round tripping algorithm. We are waiting on spec text to be written for that, so that's resolved. Issue 140, consider Objectify Link API method. We're going to discuss that at the very end of this call, but in general, that feature is on hold and will probably be pushed off to the JSON-LD, the next version of JSON-LD, or developed in parallel in a separate spec. Issue 162 has to do with an expand test case in the test suite. That is something that we can deal with in the candidate rec phase.
I think the question is, actually, the issue on there is if IRIs used for types are should be relative to the document base or not. Are they like other vocabulary items that have to resolve to absolute IRIs without regard to the document base?
Let's see. Okay, so we do need to discuss this. All right, so that's two items that we need to discuss. So this is not only the test suite, but it's a design, spec design issue. Does this have to do with the API more than the syntax? I guess it has to do
with the syntax. It's about the meaning. The meaning, yeah.
Okay, so syntax. Okay, so we need to discuss that. All right, I've marked that. Issue 156, I'm just going past down to the last two. Issue 156, compact API first expands without the provided context.
We should be able to resolve that quite quickly.
Okay. Well, we do still need to discuss this. And then, so three items to discuss. And then define from and to RDF algorithms in terms of standard RDF. Where are we on this one, Greg?
Well, I thought that I had done that, but I don't know. Maybe someone else, perhaps Nicholas could look it over and see how clear or unclear it is with regards to that. But I did attempt to describe the algorithms with regards to RDF concepts rather than to API methods.
Okay.
I think that there had been some examples, some requests to have some examples in the algorithms that sort of described a little bit more about what's going on. I'm not sure if that's included in there, and it would be probably a good idea to do.
Okay. Nicholas, could you take an action to just review that?
Yeah, I'll attempt to do that.
Okay.
125, right?
Yeah.
Check it up.
125.
Did you get any feedback from Richard?
He is reviewing the spec. He won't have feedback to us until 1 to 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like my last comment in there was regard to quads. And I think that was something that was waiting for some RDF concepts. So we were...
I recall.
That might have been one of the issues.
It's the data set versus quad.
Right. Otherwise, the language would be more clunky. Generate a triple in either default graph or named graph. If a graph name is not null, versus generate a quad.
Yeah, and I think RDF really needs to have something in there that talks about quads.
Yeah.
I don't think that we should remove that spec text. I think we need to start talking about quads. So.
But the algorithms really could use review anyway, so thank you, Nicholas.
Yep.
No,
okay, that's all of them, so we have three. Go ahead.
No, let's see how good a review I'm able to do, but I need to look at these things anyway, so it's good to have some task for it.
Okay. All right, so out of the, yeah, so we have three issues that we need to discuss next week, effectively, and hopefully we'll be able to resolve those. And once those are resolved and we put in all of the spec text changes, we're ready to go to last call. So great work, everyone, on getting us to this point. I know it was a fairly long road. but fairly smooth. I think this is one of the, it's been, it hasn't been too rocky compared with some of the other groups that we've all been in at W3C. So, okay. The last, very last topic is Nicholas's thoughts on the link method. So
right.
Go ahead, Nicholas.
Well, I only thought that if we want to include this, if it's done, when we're done with the other items, one thing that I've been thinking about is whether or not we should try to take a stripped-down version which just reflects what we probably all have done many times in our various implementations, which is the a connect that doesn't build indexes for anything else other than ID. So the general connect algorithm is more of a, it uses at least three indexes in the spec text right now for reverse and type, and these are very useful in themselves, but I think that it also makes the case more strong for having that in a separate spec. So if we wanted to include something like this in 1.0, as Marcus expressed desire to, we should probably do some kind of stripped down version of it.
Oh, well, let's see. Are you saying that, so put the stripped down version in the 1.0 API?
Yeah, if we should put anything in the API, maybe we should just put something that basically is an algorithm to create an ID map. That's very simple.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think we have an algorithm to create an ID map. It's part of Flutter.
Yeah, exactly. So perhaps we could sort of say that to run this on and get the ID map back, use this call, whatever we call it.
And effectively that is to basically get subjects by ID.
Yeah.
Okay, so the purpose of this call isn't necessarily to crawl the data, it's just to get a map of subjects to data.
Yeah, if that's, well, where, I don't know where that algorithm is used today. Is it used in flattening only?
Yeah.
So, should it be a flag?
Framing, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But framing is part of.
The other thing that we could do is create an index mechanism. If we're talking about really simple APIs, the one-step generalization of what Nicholas is proposing is to create a .index call, and you would pass it any property, including at ID or at type or something, and what you would get back is a mapping of what you gave it to flatten JSON-LD objects. So you could at that point index by like RDFS label, you could index by ID, you could index by type, all that kind of stuff. So the algorithm would effectively, what the algorithm would do is it would go into the graph, it would flatten everything, and then it would go into each one of those objects and search for the index property that you gave it. So if you gave it at ID, it would index by ID. If you gave it like label, it would index by label.
Yeah, I've been thinking about actually extending the or generalizing the algorithm in Connect to something like that. I don't know.
But just to be clear, though, this isn't Connect. It's an index. It's just a really simple indexing mechanism where people could just build the index. They could make the call. Given the you could give it a JSON-LD document, make the call,
you would just get
key value pairs out.
Well, that seems really useful, but it does feel like creeping features here at this point in the spec.
Yeah, and it doesn't replace the, it doesn't actually, as you said, connect, which is the real value, I think, that you replace references with definitions in memory references. Maybe it seems that we have notions for this which are more than the simplest thing possible to include in the API spec. So perhaps it's the most reasonable thing to do is to continue to work on it in a separate spec. And
if you think of it, the connect step is not that more complicated after you do that. So if you do the indexing step, what I just said, the connect step is just go in, look at every single property, and look at the value that's associated with that property. If it's an IRI, and that IRI exists in the topmost flattened object, you remove it and put in a reference, and that's it. That's connect, right?
Yeah. It's just that if we have just this tiny piece, people will still have to implement something for it, and it's so easy to loop over the graph list of array of items in a way.
My use of flatten typically works on compacted structures. I think otherwise, and to do that, I basically never compact node references. But if you were to do it on expanded structures, which would be more natural in that way, then we would have a problem with how you would compact the results, which now might contain node references.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what sort of makes these things a little bit experimental. And I think the whole, it sort of, there's an advantage to not trying to standardize this stuff because there's so many different ways that people can work with it. So I suggest that we either move it to jsonld.next or as a specific community group spec that'll await maturity. And that's exactly what the process is intended to do anyway.
I think so too. There is one serendipitous possibility with the connect spec, and it's to make some kind of note within it, informal or otherwise, to say that this way of using a JSON-LD context upon RDF data can give you access to something which looks like JSON-LD object, but which is actually backed by a live RDF graph if you're in such an environment. And that's certainly beyond what we do with JSON-LD. That's sort of like the OR mappers that I've tinkered with for on and off for some years. And it makes RDF data very easy to use within templating languages and other kinds of simple structures where you need something a little bit less verbose than the full RDF syntax allows. But it's very nice to be able to leverage the standard JSON-LD context structure for these things so that you can apply the same approach in very, very different contexts.
Okay, so from what I'm hearing, we feel that there are a number of very useful use cases for this, but we are not going to try and put it in the 1.0 spec. Does anyone think differently? Okay, all right, so we're going to put this in JSON-LD next, but continue to work on the spec because we believe that this is important stuff. Okay, that's it for the telecon today. Or is there anything else that we need to discuss before the telecon next week?
I actually discovered a thing when I looked at the tests, which I wanted to pass by you very quickly, if you have a minute. This test uses vocab, and in the context there is a definition of date which has no ID, and since there is a vocab, it is resolved against the vocab.
I'm happy to see this because I had this in mind a while ago and sort of forgot it. So when I saw this, I thought, hey, that's nice, because I wanted it to behave like that. But I wanted to ask you if you all agree that this is the expected behavior.
Yeah, there's really no other interpretation in which it makes sense, because state would not otherwise expand to an IRI.
Mm-hmm. No.
Also, it's implicit in here, relevant to one of the other issues, that type here expands relative to vocab rather than the document base.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. But also, if you define ID as null here, that would disconnect date, just as it regularly does, if you want a term which just doesn't expand to a property.
Right.
Good.
Did we do that? Can you do that? I mean, can you set ID to null if you have at vocab?
I think so. Well, I'd expect that to just...
I would too, but we probably need a test for that.
Right.
I don't think we have spec text for that. Well, if you have it, actually we do have spec text for it. If it's null, the JSONLD process is supposed to ignore it completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but you don't ignore vocab because of that.
But if you say ID null, then we need a way to be able to declare properties as annotational or whatever they are, comments, even if we have vocab. And the way to do that should be to use ID null explicitly.
I think vocab is intended for resolving either terms or relative IRIs that are in sort of the vocabulary space. So you might say that, you know, appending null to vocab yields null, which mm-hmm. makes some mathematical sense.
Yeah.
At least the playground currently doesn't handle that, and neither my implementation does. So probably it's not in the spec.
Yeah. Yeah, we should create an issue for this so that we can get something more solid down there. Even though we all agree on it, I'm afraid of losing it as we go towards last call. Losing the issue, that is.
Yeah.
I may also lose it on the way to last call. Okay, anything else that we need to discuss? All right, thanks everyone for the discussion this week, and we'll chat again next week. Bye.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, thanks.